from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App.
Listener, here's the news, first the headlines. Indonesia managed to reduce stunting 9.63% over 5 years. Indonesian Ombudsman and DMR discuss cooperation on digitalization of public services. Here is the news in detail, read by Steve. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Muhajir Effendi, stated that Indonesia has succeeded in reducing stunting or stunted growth and development of children under 5 by 9.63% over the past 5 years from 2018 until 2023. At the National Coordination Meeting for the Acceleration of Stunting Reduction in Jakarta Wednesday, he said the decline was from 30.8% in 2018 to 21.5% in 2023 based on the Indonesian Health Survey. Meanwhile, based on the World Health Organization standards, the ideal stunting prevalence is 20%. Muhajir Effendi also affirmed that the Indonesian government continues to make effort to reduce stunting massively in all regions. The Indonesian Ombudsman and the Danish Parliament Ombudsman in Jakarta on Thursday have discussed cooperation in digitalizing public services. Chairman of Indonesian Ombudsman Mohammad Naji on Wednesday said that the foremost underdeveloped and outermost areas are the focus of Ombudsman because these areas still have a lot of limitations requiring special attention from all parties. Cooperation between Indonesian Ombudsman and the Danish Parliamentary Ombudsman has been going on since 2019 through a human resource capacity building program on disability issues and is part of the action plan of Indonesian government and the government of Denmark for 2021-2024 period. By the end of the cooperation program on the same occasion, Director of International Relations of the Danish Parliamentary Ombudsman, Klaus Kinnerup, has said the meeting was a good opportunity to follow up on ongoing cooperation and discuss various future plans. The Indonesian Ministry of Agrarian Affairs and Spatial Planning, or National Land Agency, held the first international conference on Ulayat land registration in Indonesia in Bandung City on Thursday. The conference was held on September the 4th until the 7th with the theme Best Practices of Ulayat Land Registration in Indonesia and ASEAN Countries, Socialization of Ulayat Land in Indonesia. The Minister of Agrarian Affairs and Spatial Planning, Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono, in Bandung on Wednesday night, pointed out that delegates from participating countries can share stories, exchange experiences, best practices, lessons learned, on how to carry out management and registration of customary lands in various parts of Indonesia and in ASEAN. Through this activity, he hoped that indigenous people in Indonesia will have legal certainty over the land that has been inhabited by them for generations since hundreds of years ago. Bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and Palestine in improving the tourism sector of the two countries was marked by the signing of Memorandum of Understanding by Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno and Palestinian Minister of Tourism and Antiquities Hani Naji Atallah Abdal Masih in Jakarta on Wednesday night. The meeting also highlighted the potential for collaboration of both countries in the tourism sector. He also revealed that the Palestinian Minister of Tourism will visit Borobudur, the oldest Buddhist temple site in the world, as part of this cooperation plan. Borobudur is also expected to attract tourists from Palestine. Minister Sandiaga further pointed out that Palestine has many religious tourism sites that have been a favorite of Indonesian tourists. Chinese President Xi Jinping has promised $50 billion in financial support for Africa, while vowing to increase military aid in a sweeping speech to African leaders as Beijing seeks to bolster relationships it sees as a key to its rising position as a global power. As quoted by CNN.com, President Xi Jinping on Thursday, while addressing delegations from more than 50 African nations, conveyed China and Africa should rally their populations together to become a powerful force to promote the global south and write a new chapter in peace, prosperity, and progress. China-Africa relations are at their best in history. Looking to the future, he proposes that China's bilateral relations with all African countries with which it has diplomatic ties be elevated to the level of strategic relations. She also separately pledged another $280 million in aid to African countries, split evenly between military and food assistance. The Saudi Ministry of Culture and General Entertainment Authority on Wednesday provided a roundup of a series of projects and agreements they said would enhance the quality of life in the kingdom and help to develop professional capabilities in several sectors. As quoted by Arabnews.com, the first involved enhanced cooperation between the Saudi Film Commission and SELA, a company specializing in experiences, events, and destinations in the kingdom. SELA is a strategic partner of Riyadh Season, the annual series of entertainment, cultural, and sporting events, and the goal of this collaboration with the Film Commission is to provide support for producers working at Al Hosn Studios, one of the new zones that will debut when the 2024 season begins in October. Malaysia's foreign ministry said on Wednesday it would file a police report and carry out an internal investigation into a leak of a classified diplomatic note sent by China's foreign ministry to the Malaysian embassy in Beijing in February. As reported by CAN.com, the minister said without elaborating on the contents, the note was published in an article by Philippine media outlet on August 29th. Philippine news outlet The Inquirer on that date reported China had sent a two-page document to the Malaysian embassy in Beijing in February, asserting that Kuala Lumpur oil and gas exploration in the South China infringed on China's sovereignty. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's Diplomatic Corner highlights Indonesian Embassy in Bandar Sri Begawan promotes Indonesian cuisine. The Indonesian Embassy in Bandar Sri Begawan, in collaboration with Acharaki, promoted Indonesian cuisine at a Wonderful Indonesia Flavor 2024 event. Rizkun International Hotel in Bandar Sri Begawan from August 30 to the 31st, 2024. According to a written statement from the Indonesian Embassy in Bandar Sri Begawan on Monday, the Indonesian government promoted Indonesian cuisine abroad under the theme Indonesia Spice Up the World. The program aims to increase the export value of Indonesian spices to 31 trillion rupiah or $2 billion. In addition to increasing the export value of Indonesian spices abroad, the Indonesian government through the culinary promotion also wants to create 4,000 Indonesian restaurants abroad. Deputy Chief Representative of the Indonesian Embassy in Bandar Sri Begawan, Irwan Iding, hopes Indonesian restaurants abroad will not only serve Indonesian specialties, but also bring Indonesian culinary diplomacy to improve relations between nations and their people. Indonesian specialties served at the event included rendang, meatballs, kecombrang fried rice, sate lilit, chicken betutu, dendeng batokok, martabak Aceh, and various market snacks prepared by Indonesian chefs. In addition to the promotion of Indonesian cuisine, the event also introduced Indonesian herbal medicine through Experience Indonesia's Traditional Jamu by herbal medicine producer Acharaki. It was mentioned that Acharaki has the main goal of changing the perception of herbal drinks from traditional and ancient drinks to international health drinks. The Indonesian Embassy in Bandar Sri Begawan organized Indonesia Halal Expo in June 2024 and Indonesia Food Fest in July 2024. That was Diplomatic Corner.
sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa kita Indonesia. Sesungguhnya kita hadir bagi dunia, kita Indonesia. Sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa kita Indonesia,
Indonesia.
Sesungguhnya,
sesungguhnya
kita lipatnya, kita Indonesia. Sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa kita Indonesia. Sesungguhnya kita hadir sesungguhnya.
Listener, we begin today in history with the event on 5th September 1945 when Yogyakarta became a part of the Republic of Indonesia. Following the post-proclamation of Indonesian independence, Yogyakarta was integrated and became a part of the Republic of Indonesia. This was marked by the issuing of a royal decree known as the Mandate of September 5, 1945. Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX and Kanjeng Gusti Pangeran Dipati Aryo Pakualam VIII had similar mandates regarding the status of Yogyakarta Sultanate and Pakualam Duchy as part of Indonesian territory. The mandate of September 5 consists of joint statement regarding the integration of both parties as part of Indonesia. Before the proclamation of Indonesian independence, the Ngayogyakarta Sultanate and the Duchy of Pakualam were two regions with their own sovereigns. The mandate of September 5, 1945 changed the status of the Royal Palace of Ngayogyakarta, Hadiningrat, and the Duchy of Pakualam to become a special region to run their own governments. Let's turn to another event. The Mandala Airlines plane crash in Medan. Flight 091 operated by Mandala Airlines was a Boeing 737-200 that crashed in Padang Bulan, Medan, North Sumatra, Indonesia on September 5, 2005. This crash happened when the aircraft was taking off from Polania International Airport. There were 112 passengers and 5 crew members of this Medan-Jakarta flight. 149 people died, both passengers and crew members, as well as nearby residents. The National Transportation Safety Committee and the National Transportation Safety Board from the United States of America conducted research and found the cause of the accident, which there was damage occurred to one of the aircraft's engines that made it unpowered. We end today in history with the event of International Day of Charity. The International Day of Charity is celebrated annually on September 5th, which also happens to be the death anniversary of Mother Teresa, who received the Nobel Peace Prize in 1979. The United Nations General Assembly established the International Day of Charity in 2012. Today is set to honor the contributions made by charitable institutions and individuals, including the merits of Mother Teresa in reducing humanitarian crisis and human suffering around the world. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Ungkapkan segala yang terpendam dan kau bisikkan nada cinta. Semakin indah dunia membuka mata hati. Getar-getar cinta simfoni dalam jiwa.
Dulu ku ragu mengakui rasa cinta terpendam.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on government regulation on mangrove to clarify management in other uses. The Peatland and Mangrove Restoration Agency said the government regulation draft on mangrove protection is waiting for ratification and will include the management of ecosystems around the other uses area. Head of the agency, Hartono, in a working meeting with House of Representatives Commission 4 in Jakarta on Monday, conveyed that the government regulation needs to accelerate the mangrove rehabilitation especially around the other uses area. Hartono also said from 600,000 hectares given to the Peatland and Mangrove Restoration Agency, some 200,000 of them is focused on planting and 400,000 others keeps the mangrove of good condition. Therefore, the government regulation is expected to be a solution for mangrove rehab in other uses area, considering it is unclear which party takes responsibility for mangrove protection and rehab around the other uses area. Earlier, the agency's deputy for planning and evaluation, Satyawan Pudiatmoko, highlighted the importance of regulation on mangrove ecosystem management. One of the issues is during the arrangement of other uses area into preservation functions that would limit the rights of mangrove owners in using the mangrove. Therefore, a government-level regulation is needed to protect and manage the mangrove both inside and outside forest areas. According to the National Mangrove Map 2023 data, there are some 3.44 million hectares of mangrove in the country, or 23% from the world's 14.8 million hectares. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Banyak masalah hidupmu, ku harap dirimu tak usah mengeluh. Percaya dan yakinkan dirimu, kau bisa mengubah keluh jadi senyum. Tak ada satupun manusia yang tak pernah disinggahi masalah. Mungkin inilah cara yang kuasa untuk jadikanmu lebih dari dewasa. Senyumlah, syukuri hidupmu, tunjukkan pada dunia bahwa kau mampu. Masih banyak yang hidupnya, senyumlah, syukuri hidupmu. Tak ada satupun manusia yang tak pernah disinggahi masalah. Mungkin inilah cara jadikanmu lebih dari dewasa. Senyumlah, syukuri hidupmu, tunjukkan pada dunia bahwa kau mampu. Masih banyak yang lebih susah hidupnya. Senyumlah, syukuri hidupmu. Masa sulitmu, ceritakan kembali pada dunia cara mengubah keluh jadi senyuman. Senyumlah, syukuri hidupmu, tunjukkan pada dunia bahwa kau mampu. Masih banyak yang lebih susah. Syukuri hidupmu.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder. Located in Minahasa Peninsula and directly adjacent to Tomini Bay in the south, it's no wonder Gorontalo Province in Sulawesi, Indonesia is blessed with abundant seafood. The local community processes this seafood into a variety of tasty delights. One is perkedel nike, made from a kind of gobi fish called nike fish. Perkedel itself is not an original Gorontalo food. The term perkedel comes from a Dutch meatball called frikadel. Frikadel is made from minced meat that is crushed and fried. While in Indonesia, perkedel is made with potatoes that are sometimes only slightly spiked with minced meat or corned beef, or even no meat at all. Listeners, perkedel nike is made from nike fish, also known as duo fish. The fish is tiny, about 5 cm long, and well known for its delicious and savory taste. To make perkedel nike, nike fish is mixed with wheat flour, shallots, garlic, and chicken eggs. The dough is then fried. Perkedel nike tastes so savory and crispy. It's usually eaten with hot rice and rica-rica chili sauce. In addition to being delicious, it is rich in benefits because nike fish has high protein and calcium. Perkedel nike is easy to find in various restaurants in Gorontalo. The price is relatively cheap, about 1,000 to 2,000 rupiah, or only 6 to 13 US cents per piece. Well, listeners, that's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian pop and regional songs, international musical entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
When you walk away, I count the steps that
You are still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present to you, Miscellany. Listener, today's miscellany informs you about Indonesia, which steals the heart of the world with its amazing beauty. Recently, Pink Beach in Komodo Island, East Nusa Tenggara, was named one of the world's 25 best beaches. This adds to the long list of Indonesia's internationally recognized tourism destinations. Pink Beach, befitting its name, has pink sand. The pink came from the mixture of white sand and fragments of red coral called foraminifera. When the sunlight hits, its reflection creates stunning color gradation. The tourism website LonelyPlanet.com puts Pink Beach along with other pretty beaches of the world, such as the Pass, Byron Bay in New South Wales, Australia, Ipanema Beach in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, Aomaya in Kopifi, Krab, Thailand, Punta Rata Beach, Brela Makarska Riviera, Croatia, Raudan Sandur, Westports, Iceland, Playa Bahia de las Aguilas, Parque Nacional Jaragua, Dominican Republic, and many others. Listener, with Pink Beach being put in the list of the world's best beaches, it is expected to bring more tourist visits, both domestic and international, to Komodo Island and around. This will bring positive impact for local economy, mainly in tourism. Well, listener, that's today's miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
Yang datangnya belakangan.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, VOI listener. Today, I'm going to talk about a popular song by the band called Sudden. Sudden was formed in 1998 with just three members, consisting of vocalist Nuri, drummer Abrar, and guitarist Rijal. This trio focuses on pop and often sings about young love. Their first album, Malu or Shy, came out in 1998, but they became known to the public after releasing Dunia Belum Berakhir or The World Is Yet to End, a track from the album with the same title released in 2000. This song, Dunia Belum Berakhir, tells the story of a breakup in which one person leaves the relationship, but it also reminds us that even after a heartbreak, life still goes on. Here it is, Sheldon with Dunia Belum Berakhir, or The World Is Yet to End.
Dunia belum berakhir, bila kau putuskan aku. Masih banyak teman-temanku di sini menemaniku. Dunia belum berakhir, bila kau putuskan aku.
Of Indonesia.
manis. Berat badan naik, tak perlu khawatir. Perut tambah buncit, cabi minta dicubit. Dengarlah
of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.